our look over what we've been looking at for the last few weeks. We've been basing our messages on a Sunday morning on a book called Simplify, and that's being used also at our life groups, and I'm sure it's been a help to many of you, and we continue on that theme this morning. Before we do, I just want you to look at the person next to you and see what colour eyes they've got. Okay, I was not suggesting a full medical checkup. That'll do just fine. Now, you've seen what colour their eyes are. You've seen what they look like on the outside. I want you to look again and see what they look like inside. No, not so easy, isn't it? You see, we can all put on something on the outside, can't we? We can look very cheerful and very happy and whatever we want to, the persona we want to offer, we can manufacture that fairly easily. But what's happening on the inside? We're well onto this course now, looking at simplifying our lives, our diaries, the way we act, the way we do things, to make sure that we have time for God, time to serve Him, and time for ourselves and our family, time in our work, and getting the balance of our lives right. But there is one monster that just lurks behind all of that, and his name is fear. Fear can bind us, and no matter what we do, no matter what we look like, fear can grip us. As a young lad, I went like so many young people, probably more so today than then, but so many people, I went through some bullying at school. And up to then, I'd been an averagely confident young chap. But at that point, things changed in my life. And my life then took on fear. If you could suggest a fear, then I'd make sure of getting it. And if there wasn't one, I'd find one. I'd manufacture one. My life was just blocked up with fears. And then someone suggested I went to a youth club. I managed to get myself there, which in itself was a challenge because it meant leaving my home, and that was leaving my home was a challenge. I didn't like to go out of the door, so much so that I absolutely refused to go to school. And you may say, well, didn't your parents send you? At the time, I was getting onto this sort of height. I was something like 13 and a half stone, and my mother was just slightly under 5 foot. Not an easy obstacle to get through. I remember now just standing with my arms across the door, move me if you can. Of course, I've gone to work by this time. And I wouldn't, because fear just so much gripped me. Fear can hold you back. I managed to go to church, and everyone thought I was a wonderful young man. They didn't know what was hiding. And then one day we had an evangelist come to that group and he preached the gospel. And after the service, he said to me, David, are you a Christian? I said, yes. I didn't know what he was talking about. I wasn't a Christian, but I knew the right answer. I might have been very fearful, but my brain was still working. And I said, yes, I am. I was fearful of what he'd say and do if I said no, actually, was the truth. And the pastor heard all this, and the preacher said to me, how do you know? And that pastor, I just loved him more and more at that moment, because he said, yes, David loves the Lord, don't you, David? Oh, yes, absolutely I do. But walking home, I knew I didn't. And I was one of those classic people about what will happen if a bus knocks me over. I really did think that. And so I prayed just on the street there. I didn't know quite how to do this. I thought praying was about kneeling, and I thought, if I knelt down in the street right now, and the doctors knowing what they know about me, there would be transport driven by men in white coats, and I would not like the outcome. So I didn't do that. But what I actually said to God is, Lord, if you save me now, I'll pray when I get home, promise. But God accepted that, and right there I was delivered. And I knew I was set free from every fear, because when I got to the end of our road, normally I wouldn't walk along it. It was a typical terrace road of houses, not particularly well lit, and I was so fearful of walking along our street. I would carry a torch with me. My own dad would know roughly what time I was due home and would look out the window. It was a bay window. He would look out of it, and I would flash my torch like this until he saw it. Then he would walk up the street and take me home. That day, I didn't walk up the street with anyone. I ran by myself, burst through the door and said, Mum and Dad, I found Jesus. And they could rejoice. And that was the setting free of my fear. I know two things. I know what it's like to have fear, and I know what it's like to be released. I know a Jesus who has power over fear, over anything that might grip us. So we're going to look at this idea of fear. There are two, and here we saw in Luke that they were startled and frightened. Frightened at the face of Jesus. Can you imagine such a thing? But they were frightened. When they saw Jesus, something happened in their life. They weren't expecting him. They thought it was a ghost. But it was Jesus. They knew what it was, fear. But fear has two opposites, faith and peace. Faith stands against anything that rise up, and peace will overcome any fear. Now, it'd be easy for me to say, oh, if you had enough faith, you wouldn't have fear. I know that's not true. But we can break through to that truth, that Jesus wants to set you through free. Where there was fear, there can be faith and peace. A couple of scriptures to run by you. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. Do not be afraid. We can know his peace. In John 16:33, he says, I've told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In the world you'll have trouble. Who says amen to that one? But he says, don't fear. I've overcome the world. In this world all sorts of things may come that might cause you to fear, but I've overcome them. I love this one also from Proverbs 28 verse 1. The wicked flee. I thought they were all wicked, but never mind. The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. The wicked ones flee, but we're righteous. We can be bold in him. We can know that we're set free. So how can we know God's peace to overcome his every fear, every anxiety, whatever may be binding you this morning? If you're that person that came in a hole or were digging a hole, if you just came this morning and you just came anyway, how can you know that freedom from any fear? And fears needn't be huge, big things. Fears needn't be like I experienced. They can be minor fears, concerns that just go a bit deeper than they really ought to. Philippians is one of my favorite verses, and it says this in chapter 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious or fearful about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And this is it, the peace of God which transcends all understanding. That's wonderful. You don't have to understand his peace. You can't understand fear, but you don't have to understand his peace. His peace goes beyond all understanding. Why do I feel peaceful in this situation when right now my knees should be knocking, my legs turning to jelly? Why do I feel at peace? It passes understanding. And more than that, it goes deep. It says it guards your hearts and minds. It guards your heart, the very feeling, the very sensation, the very emotion. The peace of God covers that, but it covers your mind too. The bit that tells you you ought to be fearful. God gives you peace there. That's good news. All sorts of peace can come into your hearts and minds, setting you free from whatever fear may lurk there. So what can take away our peace? Well, there are so many things, aren't there? So many things can take away our peace. Financial pressures. Relational difficulties, bad news, illness can take it away, the feeling of failure, so many things. You could probably think of 100 other things. There are many. The list is limitless. Many things that can take our peace away. I know that in my life, and I'm sure in your life, there have been times when just some small little thing you get uptight about, you get worried about. But Jesus says, peace. Be still in those difficult situations. Now, talking of peace, I thought I'd try you. Can anyone tell me what... fear. Talking of fear, I wanted to try and see what you know. Can anyone tell me what this fear is? Someone at the back who I know will be able to tell me, because she's a very clever person. Go on, tell them. Absolutely, the fear of long words. Isn't that great? I mean, you know, someone with long words says, I have a problem, doctor. It's paper, but I can't say it. Yeah, I fear long words. I love that one. We have all sorts of fears. But as we consider fears, we need to consider, and the book leads us through this, but there are two types of fear that come in our life. There's phobia and phobos. Phobia is a respect fear. There are certain things in my life and in this world that I respect. For instance, when I leave this church this morning, I am not going to suddenly run out straight across the road without looking. That would not be wise. I know you would like that, but no, that would... I even have my hecklers on the front row. That would not be wise. Why wouldn't I do that? because I respect the damage a car could do to me. And so I don't do that. Respect fear is good. There's a certain fear that's right. You don't lick your finger and stick it in the socket. There are certain things you don't do. Young people, you know how far you can go with your parents. And then respect comes in. You know that that little bit more and their right hand of fellowship will reach to your seat of learning. You will have overstepped the mark. You fear that happening. That's respect. That's good. It's good to have respect fears. Good to know that there are limits that we shouldn't go over. But then there's also phobos, which is terror. Phobia. That's where it comes from. Where you just are tied up in knots. Now, it's not just the case that you won't run out in front of a car because you respect it. Now you won't even leave a room in case a car should mount the pavement, come through your front garden, burst through your gate and knock you over. That's noophobia. And that's not what God wants us to have. You see, when the Bible tells us to fear God, it's that respect fear. It's not that nervous fear. It's not that phobia. I don't have a phobia of God, but I respect him. Oh, I love him. I loved my dad, but boy, did I have respect fear. I knew when I was about to overstep the mark. I also knew at that time where the front door was. I respect God. I know that he is great and mighty and powerful. But I don't have a phobia. That's what he wants us to have. He doesn't want us to have this. Bill Hybels uses the phrase of constructive fear and destructive fear. It's the same sort of idea. The constructive fear that I talked about not running out in things like cars, driving carefully on icy roads, all these things are constructive fears. But then are destructive fears, things that bind you up, like I've said, even leaving the house instead of in case a car might come. Destructive fears are dangerous. They will stop us fulfilling the will of God. They will stop us living a healthy, good lifestyle. We need not fear. Timothy put it this way from the King James, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind." He doesn't want us to live in fear, but in power, love, and a sound mind. The NIV puts, I didn't put the NIV on there, okay? And so that's what he says. The spirit of, there we are, NIV says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind." The spirit that God gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. God has not given us a spirit of fear. If you fear this morning, if you have a gripping fear, if you have that phobia, that awful in dread that comes to us, that's not from God. And don't allow the enemy to tell you. Don't start thinking, oh, well, perhaps God wants me to fear. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. So how then can we overcome fear? Well, we've just seen it's not from God. So what can do this? What brings fear about? We've looked at some things, but we, in order to get that victory, we see that we need to understand where fear comes from. Understand where fear comes from. Recognizing it's not of God, but of the enemy. It comes about often by previous traumatic events can hold us bound. That's what happened to me with that bullying incidences that I'd gone through. Bad experiences of whatever it may be will cause us to fear doing that again. Oh, the last time I tried that, it failed. It was difficult. Frightening words people tell us, you know, you'll never make anything. You'll never be anything. You're useless. Brings fear. You go out there and you'll get so wet, you'll get double pneumonia. You do that and it could be dangerous. It ties us up in fear. Previous dangers that we go back to and reminds us. They can all grip us in fear. We need to go back to these things, acknowledge them, that they're causing that fear, and go forward. After doing that, we need to expose the lie that fear is. Fear's a lie. They're not rational. They don't really exist. They're lies from the enemy. They're lies in our minds. They don't really exist at all. I remember some years ago when I was, I've been set free from fears, but the enemy doesn't give up easy. And I developed this concern, I wouldn't call it quite a phobia, but a strong fear of spiders. just like that one by you. But no, I did. And I mean, I was really quite terrified of the things. And so one day I was in my study getting ready for a sermon, and I thought to the, I said to the Lord, Lord, I'm not going to allow these things. I want to expose this lie. No, it's a lie of the enemy. I am not going to be frightened of spiders anymore. I confess that in Jesus' name. I continued preparing, and then I remembered that I'd written a note down when I do this. I woke up in the morning and wrote a note down on a piece of paper. So I thought, I'll have to go in the bedroom and get that piece of paper out to remind myself what I wrote, because it was to do with the sermon. So we lived in a bungalow at the time, and so I walked along the corridor into our bedroom, and walked in quite happy to get this piece of paper, and you'll never believe what was in the bedroom floor. It was about 50 feet wide, 1,000 feet tall, fire-breathing with fangs sticking out, and a towel to get me if I tried running. It was amazing. It was awful. There was this thing staring at me in the eyes. It had its knife and fork ready. Salt and pepper and vinegar was right there. Didn't need tomato ketchup. He knew that would come. He had everything. He was just licking his lips. So I gently removed myself from the bedroom and walked away. I just sensed the Lord saying, what are you doing? And I said, I'm not fearful. I don't need that bit of paper. If it's of God, he'll remind me. Isn't it great when you can do that? And so I went back to my study, and I felt the Lord say, you're scared. No, I'm not. Then do it. Then do it. So I walked back into the bedroom, and horror of horrors, it had grown twice the size. His head was now going through the roof. It was so big. And it looked there, and I thought, I don't know how to deal with a spider. And I remembered how others would do it. My brave wife would get a hold of a piece of toilet paper. I don't know what was magical about that stuff, but apparently it's what I needed. So I went to the bathroom, got myself a piece of toilet paper, and put it over the spider. And all of a sudden, this thought came to me. There's a thin bit of loo paper between me and death. What am I going to do? Now, the sensible thing would, if I'm going to get rid of this spider, would have been to get it up in the toilet paper. And the front door was right next door to the bedroom door. And it would have taken two steps. That would have been sensible. But when you've got a fear, you're not very sensible. That's the problem. So I thought, what do I do with it? I know, the toilet. So I got a hold of this thing. And I broke. Sorry if you like spiders. I did. And I broke. I'm sure they're underwater diving. And so I broke every speed. Talk about, you know, speed. I broke every speed limit between me and that bathroom. I burnt the carpet with my feet. Vroom! Put it in there. Pulled the toilet chain out of the handle. And nobody had told me at that point, spiders float. I was just, you will die. You will go down that thing. I caused a water shortage that day. If you had your water cut off, I'm sorry, it was my fault. But I'll tell you something. I've never been fearful of them since. I had to face it. I had to recognize. I had to expose it was a lie. You see, the enemy lies. He says this in John 8:44. You belong to your father. That was those who didn't worship God he was talking to. Your father, the devil, carry out your father's desire. It says, there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Fears are lies. That spider wouldn't have hurt me. It wouldn't have done me any harm. It wouldn't have hurt me at all. A term that's often used, and he uses it in his book, is catastrophizing. And it means making a mountain out of a molehill or a drama out of a crisis. It's what happens when we allow things to build up in our lives. It's so easy for the enemy to get these things into our hearts. And even if there is something that's scary, even if there is something before us that could be a big thing in our lives, we know we're held in the love of Jesus. The Bible tells us, greater is he that's in you than anything that's in the world. So by doing that, we transform fear into action. What do? We face it head on. They often talk these days about exposure therapy, similar to what I did with that spider. Be wise when you do that. Perhaps you need some help to do that. But we need to face it. We need to go on with Jesus against that. One person said these words. Oh, sorry, it's like when you have a fear of snakes. Sorry, I forgot that. Example, that might be a fear you have. What do you do? Well, how about getting some books from the library, reading about snakes, getting to know them, and then maybe one day, like that lady, getting a bit closer, maybe one day, just to be able to touch it. Someone who comes to this church has a pet snake, we can help you. But this guy is an American author. He said, "The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure that you seek." I love that. The cave that you fear to enter. That very thing that holds you back, that fear that grips you like an iron fist. That's where you need to be. That's where the treasure is. Some of you might be fearing your salvation. That comes too. People who know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, the devil loves to put a fear in you. Perhaps that's you this morning. Does God really love me? Do I live up to what he wants? Am I good enough? Will I live with him? The Bible says this in Ephesians, you are saved through faith. Through faith. It's not from you. It's the gift of God. Not by your works. Receive that. Know that. You live for him. You serve him. You want to go on in him. And that's great. But your salvation is not about how good you are, though you should seek to live for him and do good things. But for him, he's the one who gives it by grace. I must leave it there. And this morning, whatever your fear is, whether it be fear of salvation, whether it be some other fear, you may say, "Well, actually, David, I don't fear anything. I don't have any fears in my life." To which I say, praise the Lord. That's great. Make sure you stay that way. Live that way. But should anything ever come in the future that might cause you deep anxiety, remember this message this morning. You're saved by grace, and you live by that grace. He will help you. He will guide you. He will protect you. I've got a testimony here that I want to read out. Someone that comes to this church, this really happened. And I've asked them for a testimony. They asked me to read this out anonymously, which I shall do. Someone you will know in this church. "Over the last 2 years, I found myself worrying more and more about my performance at work. I work in a target-driven environment, and my competitive nature leads me to strive for best results. Increasingly, I found myself lying awake at night, worrying about my performance. Sadly, there are times when I become so preoccupied with an issue that I will be distracted by it during the weekends and evenings. I'm blessed with a wonderful family, great friends, and so many good things in my life, but I can get so absorbed by my thoughts of work that I fail to see the good that is around me." That's what fear does. "Over the past 6 months, I've realized how uneasy and wasteful this situation is and have tried to reason myself out of this state of mind, but have not been able to break the pattern. A few weeks back, when David asked people to go forward for prayer for release from fear, I realized that it is my fear of failure, my fear of not being the best, that is causing the anxiety. I decided to go forward for prayer, something I would not normally do. I've been a Christian for many years and have occasionally received prayer ministry before, but this time the release was tangible. It's difficult to explain the effect, but as I went to work the next day, it was as someone had taken the blinkers off, you know, like horses have, as if someone had taken the blinkers away. I was aware of my surroundings, the environment in which I work, aware of my work colleagues as people, and aware of the rightful proportionate place of my work in my wider life. This has caused a genuine release and joy and peace. 4 weeks later, writing this testimony has been very hard. I now realize the fear, which has been eating up chunks of my life, was totally irrational. But this is how the enemy works. He comes to destroy and will exploit our nature, our natural weaknesses, to bring misery." And then this person says, "If you are aware of gripping fear in any part of your life, I would encourage you, even if it takes you out of your comfort zone, to go and pray with the ministry team. I tried to solve the problem myself with reason, but there was a spiritual dimension to this that I have been totally unaware of and needed it to be broken by prayer." Isn't God great? Amen. Isn't it wonderful? I believe the Lord needs a praise. Amen. Because because God is just so gracious, and that's to him and to nobody else. So this morning, if you have a fear or an anxiety that's just getting to you, wakes you up at night, disturbs you in the morning, during the day, it may be a gripping fear, it might just be a little nagging thing, it might be fear of spiders or fear of whatever it might be. But this morning, it doesn't matter how big or small that fear is, Jesus wants to set you free. And if you are fearful of your salvation, that God doesn't love you, that you're not living good enough life for him, then he can set you free from that fear. In a moment, I'm going to ask the worship group to come up and lead us in the final song. And as we're singing, I'm going to ask the ministry team to come forward as soon as we start to sing. Don't just leave it to the end. As soon as we start to sing, if you want prayer to be released from fear, then just come forward. The prayer ministry team will pray with you. No one's going to look at you or judge you. We're family. Another thing you can do, whether you come forward to be prayed for or not, over in that corner, right at the back by the sound desk, there is a shredder, an electric shredder, some bits of paper and a pen. It might help some of you. It doesn't need to be all, whoever. But if you find this useful, you might want to write down that fear on that piece of paper. Say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm releasing this fear in Jesus' name. And then just put it into the shredder, on your fingers, putting it into the shredder and see it go into a bunch of pieces. It's gone forever. I invite you to do that. A practical note, please wait until it's finished in between each one, otherwise it'll jam up. But take these, write it down, that fear that you are giving to the Lord. Write it on there, saying, Lord, this is what's happened to my fear. It's going. So I invite you to come forward for prayer. That's the big thing. Release it in prayer. But if you find that useful as well, or prefer to use that method, then it's over at the back. You can do that during the song, or as you go, it's over there. Someone will keep an eye on you, make sure you're okay with it. But come forward for prayer. Let Jesus set you free. Thank you, worship team.